Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
If you'll turn your Bibles to John 15, verse 3, or if you have an electronic device and have a Bible app, please use that. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, John 15, verse 3. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you.
Good afternoon, everyone. Open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. The title of our message today is Creation or Evolution? Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh, loving Father, you are God, and we are not. We are sinners in need of a Savior. So who are we, Lord, that you are mindful of us? We're like a vapor in the wind. We're here today and gone tomorrow. And yet you emptied the bank accounts of heaven to save us. What a powerful message that you have for us, Lord. That you love us that much. Lord, you created all things, including us. And you desire, Lord, for us to do your will. And so our prayer today is that you would draw us close. Give us ears to hear. Give us a mind to understand. And give us a heart submitted to you, ready and eager and willing, Lord, to do your will. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start off this afternoon by asking you a question. Are you a creationist or an evolutionist? That is the question that A.T. Jones asked in an article that was written in the Review and Herald, February 21st, 1899. Sounds like a pretty simple question, doesn't it? Are you a creationist or an evolutionist? Because as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we believe in six literal 24-hour periods of creation, don't we? And we believe that there was a seventh 24-hour period that was added to that, that God gave us a day of rest, a day of remembering Him as Creator. It was a day that was set aside. It was sanctified. It was made holy. Only one day in seven, and God gave it to us. So I ask you again, are you a creationist or an evolutionist? According to the Oxford Dictionary, evolution is the process by which different kinds of living organisms are believed to have developed from earlier forms during the history of the earth. That's a pretty basic definition of evolution. But I'd like you to notice how A.T. Jones described evolution in that article. He said, "It is the theory that represents the course of the world as a gradual transition from the intermediate to the determinate, and is synonymous with progress and transition from lower to higher, from worse to better. Thus, progress points to an increased value in existence as judged by our feelings." I want that to sink in, so I'm going to say that last part again. Thus, progress points to an increased value in existence as judged by our feelings. In other words, you know that you are better because you feel better. You know that you are making progress because you feel it. What is Jones telling us here? He's saying that if you measure your progress, the value of your experience, by your feelings, then you're an evolutionist. That's what he's saying. Now, why is this important to us? Well, because I want to talk to you today about more than the creation of the world. I want to talk to you today about you, about your recreation. You have your Bibles open to Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul says to us, starting in verse 20. He says, "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." I want you to notice here that Paul says to us to put off the old man and put on the new. And he is using an illustration here of someone putting on clothing. He says, put off or take off that old man, that old way of thinking, the old way of doing things, the man who thinks like the world, put that off and put on the new. Put on Christ. But I want you to think about that for a minute. As you look at your process and your progress from being a heathen to becoming a Christian, what has been the process of your progress from going from worse to better? Has it been an up and down journey? Has your acquiring of the power to do good, that is the good works that God has created for you to do, has it been through a long process of ups and downs from the time that you made your first profession of faith until today? Has it been a long process to get you to where you are today? As you look back and you mark your journey, can you see that you have, and do you feel that you have made progress? In other words, are you an evolutionist? I think it's safe to say that everyone here today believes that God created all things, that He created out of nothing, and everything that the world has came from Him. Evolution can't say that. There is no room for creation in evolution. And there is another kind of evolution that has been creeping into the church. It's called theistic evolution. And essentially what that means is that there is a God, a creator, who created things but then just kind of wandered off and left it to evolve. In other words, he started everything, but then he just walked away. But friends, that is still evolution in disguise. Because when it comes to creation and evolution, there's no halfway. There's either creation or there's evolution. Even today, there are some people that believe that God starts you off on your journey to heaven and then leaves you to work it out for yourself. But I ask you, how can we do that when there's nothing good in us? I want you to turn with me to Philippians. You're still there in Ephesians. Just turn one or two pages to the right. Philippians chapter 2. And I want you to notice where people get that from. Notice what verse 12 says. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So if you look at that one verse all by itself, you can understand how someone might think, I have got to work out my own salvation. I've got to do it in my own power. But as Seventh-day Adventists, we understand that you can't take one verse and build your theology around it. You've got to put it in the proper context, and it doesn't take very long to do that. You just look at the next verse. Notice verse 13 says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure." So I've got to work out my salvation, but I can't do it. I need Christ in me working out my salvation for me. And so how can we believe in evolution? I want you to notice Hebrews 11 verse 3 says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible." All that's simply saying is that God created the world out of nothing. That's what it says. That's what we believe. Psalm 33 verse 6 says, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth." Verse 9 says, "For He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast." So let me ask you a question. From the time God spoke the word, how long until it was? Did it take a week, a month, 1,000 years? When God said, "Let there be light," did it take 1,000 years for the light to appear? Because if it takes long periods of time, that's evolution. But if He spoke and it was, that's creation. Here's my point. Creation happens immediately, or it's not creation. If it takes long periods of time, that's evolution. Think about this. The Word of God is a living thing. The life that is in the Word of God is the life of God. In other words, it abides forever, and it forever has creative power in it. So when Jesus was here And he said to his disciples, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." The words that Jesus spoke were the words of God. They are imbued with the life of God. They are eternal life. They abide forever. And in them is a creative energy that is produced when the word is spoken. So God could speak a word 1,000 years ago, and when you hear it, it has the same creative power in it that it had when he spoke it. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. And I want you to notice what it says in verse 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 8. The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." I want you to notice there that the centurion said to Jesus, "Speak a word only." Because that centurion understood authority. He understood that when he, as a leader of men, says go, they go, and when he says come, they come. He understands the power of God, and that when Jesus speaks, it will be. And he says to him, "Just say a word." And I ask you, when Jesus speaks the word, what happens? Notice verse 13. Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you." And his servant was healed 20 years later. That's not what it says, does it? It says his servant was healed that very hour. Or how about that story of the leper in Mark chapter 1. When Jesus said to him, "Be cleansed." How long did it take for that man to be cleansed? Or how about that time when Jesus said to a certain person, "Your sins are forgiven." How long did it take for his sins to be forgiven? Think about the word of God to you. Man, your sins are forgiven. Woman, your sins are forgiven. If you look here, and you're still in Matthew, look at chapter 9, look at verse 2. It says, "Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you.'" Notice the present tense there. Your sins are forgiven. Immediately, those sins were forgiven. In Psalm 51, David said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." So how long do you think that it took for God to create in David a clean heart? The rest of his life? Or was it immediate? I'd like you to turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 36. The children of God had a habit of always breaking God's commandments. The children of Israel were always going their own way. They were always worshiping idols and breaking God's commandments and His statutes. And God would often let them go into captivity because He was trying to teach them a lesson of what happens to you when you walk out from underneath the umbrella of God's protection. You know, we often think of the Ten Commandments as ten rules, right? But they are there to protect us. They are like a fence. And as long as you remain within the fence, as long as you remain within the confines of the law, you have the protection of God. But when you go out from underneath that protection, bad things happen. And they often went into captivity. But I want you to notice here in Ezekiel chapter 36 that God says to Ezekiel, I want you to go to the children of Israel and notice what He says starting in verse 22. He says, therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I have hallowed you before their eyes. Here we see that God says to us, spiritual Israel, you are sinners. You are continuously profaning my name, but I'm going to do something in you. Not for your sake, but for my name's sake, I am going to do a work in you so that the people around you see something is different about you. This is not something that you've done for yourself. This is not your own works. This is not something that you accomplished. But this is something that I'm going to do in you. He says in verse 24, for I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and in about 1,000 years, everyone's going to start getting it right. Is that what it says? No, he says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. Here we see that God is telling the children of Israel, I'm going to recreate you. I'm going to take that heart of stone and I'm going to take it out of you. I'm going to take that carnal heart. I'm going to take that sinful heart. I'm going to take it out of you. I'm going to give you a heart of flesh, a heart that is moldable and pliable, one that I can recreate in you my image. Because that stony heart cannot be made subject to God. I've got to take that heart out and I've got to give you a new heart. You know, Jesus, when He was speaking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, He essentially said the same thing when He said, you must be born again. You've got to ask Christ to come into your life. And when you do, He comes in and He starts cleaning you up from the inside out. He writes His law in your mind and in your heart. He gives you the power to live for Him. There is this mystery of how God can manifest Himself in sinful man. But the question that we really need to ask ourselves is there such a thing as creation? Is there such a thing as a creator who can create in you a clean heart, or is it all just evolution? In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light," and it was. He said to the leper, "Be clean," and he was. And God says to you, "Be clean." And you might ask, how can I be clean? By the creative energy of the Word of God. In John chapter 15, verse 3, in our scripture reading this morning, Jesus said, "You are already clean by the words which I have spoken to you." I ask you, are you clean? Will you from this moment be creationists or evolutionists? I want you to see what a blessed thing that this is. The Word of God was spoken thousands of years ago. Yet when you read the Word of God, when you receive the Word of God, when you meditate upon the Word of God, it has creative power to change you. Right now. Not a lifetime, but now. The creative energy is in you producing the things that are written in His Word. If you let it. If you surrender your heart to Him and allow Him to do in you what you can't do in yourself. And you are living in the very presence of the power of creation. Creation is going on in you. He is creating you to be righteous. Creating you to be holy. Creating you in truth. Creating you in faithfulness. Creating you in every gracious thing. And when that happens, your Sabbath keeping becomes real. It becomes something because the Sabbath is a memorial of creation. And when you are keeping the Sabbath day holy, it is a sign of Christ in you, working in you, recreating you into His image to do His will. But if you are an evolutionist, then your Sabbath keeping is a fraud. Why? Because you can't do it in your own power. Only by being a new creation in Christ can you keep holy what He has made holy. Why? Because you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not only does He now give you the power to keep His law, But he creates in you a desire to do so. I want you to turn back to Ephesians with me, but this time turn to chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul says to us starting in verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God spoke that word into existence knowing that you were going to be alive in June 2nd of 2018, and that creative word would work in you. You see, brothers and sisters, we need not expect to have any good works in and of ourselves. There's nothing good in us. Not to do it, not to want it. You can try all that you want. The evolutionist tries and tries and tries and cannot accomplish it. So why would we want to try when we know we're going to fail? We can't do it. The only way that we can do it is if it is created there for us by the Creator. By His Word, which has creative energy. Do you want to walk in good works? It can be done. But only by being created in Christ Jesus for good works. We need to stop trying. And we need to look to the Creator and to receive His creative power in our lives to change us. We need to let the Word of God richly dwell in us, and then those good works will appear, and we will be a Christian. Then. What word did I use? Then. Because you live with the Creator, in the presence of creative energy, now you can produce the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now with the creative energy of Christ in you, now you can have compassion. Now you can forgive others. Now you can love others more than you love yourself. Now you can have mercy. I want you to notice there in Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 10, I want you to notice the present tense there. He says, you have been saved. Right now, you have been saved. He says, you are created for good works. You are His workmanship. I ask you, brothers and sisters, are you? the Word has been spoken. The Word has creative power. How much time are you going to allow from the Word of God being spoken until it happens in your life? Because if it's going to take long periods of time, you're an evolutionist. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And because He is living in you, now you can live for Him. Now you naturally do His commandments because He has written His law in your mind and in His heart, in your heart, and the very essence of Christ, the power of Christ, is so interwoven into the very fabric of who you are that you naturally do what is pleasing to Him. Do you see how we have been evolutionists? But I want to encourage you today to be a creationist. Let us truly be Sabbath keepers, not because we're trying harder, but because the creative power of the Word of God is living in you and you are living out its principles. The Word of God speaks forgiveness so you can be forgiving. The Word of God speaks of a clean heart. The Word of God speaks of holiness. It creates it in you. Let Him create it in you. Don't be an evolutionist. But let the creative power work in you. Let the creative energy work in you. Brothers and sisters, Christ is coming soon. And He wants us to be prepared. Are you prepared? He can make you ready to meet Him. He spoke the world into existence, and it was. He said to the leper, "Be cleansed," and he was. He said to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven," and they were. But when it comes to ourselves, why do we say it's going to take a considerable amount of time for His Word to work in me? Are we evolutionists or creationists? Friends, we have been called by God, commanded by God to go into all the world. And we are to call them to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we are to say to them, "Come, for all things are ready." But I ask you, how can we say to them, "All things are ready," if we ourselves are not ready? Because when we do that, they're not going to hear. Because that word has no creative power in it. But oh, when we have been cleansed of our sin, when we have been created in good works, when we are held by the Word of God like the sun is held in its course, then when we go out and say to people, come, all things are ready, that word will go forward in creative power. Because when they hear that word, it will be as hearing the voice of God. And it will create in them a desire to receive that creative power in themselves, to get ready for the coming of Jesus. We are living in the time when God is marking His people. He is marking those who have been cleansed of every, what word did I use? Every defilement. God is not going to set His seal upon something that is not true. Are we going to ask God to set His seal upon us if we are unrighteous? We could ask Him. But we know that He is far too righteous to do that. So we must allow Him to cleanse us, so that He will put His seal upon His own work. Not on your work, but on His. He cannot put His seal on something that does not belong to Him. And He is only going to put His seal on a document that has met His approval. So why don't we let Him create His character in our heart? You know, we hear the statement that sanctification is a work of a lifetime. And it is. But how much greater, faster, can the Lord work in us if we let Him? If we cooperate with Him. And I want to encourage you this morning. Don't let one moment pass between the time when you read His spoken word and you do what it says. It is creative power. And it should be working as we receive it. It was spoken thousands of years for this day. And God wants to accomplish in you what you can't do in yourself. So I want to encourage you to live in the presence of creation. I want to encourage you to walk with the Creator, upheld by His creative power, inspired by creative energy. Because when that happens, God can move the world. Is that the desire of your heart? If it is, pray with me now. Oh, loving Father, You are the Creator, and You need to just speak a word only, and we will be changed. But Lord, we often get in the way and slow down the progress. Lord, help us to surrender it all to You and allow the spoken word to change us, mold us, fashion us into Your image. We can't do it in our own power. We need You. And so we surrender our hearts afresh to You this day. We want to be creationists in our thinking, because You have the power to change us right now. And that's our desire. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.